give me a chance to answer questions. That's what I'm going to go back. All right, both say we're on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. And we said that a Korah, in order to be Metakein a Mavui, has to be no higher than 20 Amah. That's the maximum height of a Korah. And what the Gemara wants to know now is what would be the law if you had a Korah, half of which is below 20 Amah, but the top half of the Korah is above 20 Amah. And we'll see a similar case in Schach in Sukkah. We have Schach above 20 Amah, but part of the Schach dips below the 20 Amah. So let's see if we can find the place. The way the Gemara is structured, at least in my Gemara, is that there's a thinner part and then it gets wide somewhere, let's say, two-thirds down the Amud. And in the third line, or let's see, maybe it's the fourth line of the wide lines, you'll see a two dots. And then we start with Miktsas Korah. So we said the following, that both in the case of a Mavui regarding the Korah and in the case of Schach regarding a Sukkah, it cannot be above Esrim Amah. So the Gemara now wants to deal with the following case. Miktsas Korah Besoch Esrim, Umiktas Korah Lamalami Esrim. So you have part of the Korah is above 20 Amah and part is below 20 Amah. I didn't get a chance to see if he has any pictures here. Maybe somebody wants to do that for me just to see if he has a picture, because we like these colored pictures. You know? So maybe he has a picture of it. So the Gemara says the following. Miktas Chach Besoch Esrim, Miktas Schach Lamalami Esrim. You know, we've operated with a certain equation between Mavui and Schach. And therefore, this suffix that the Gemara is raising here can be applied to both the Korah and the Schach. And yet, Omar Rabba, to our surprise, says, B'mavoi Kosher, B'sukkah Posel. That although we can be makil, we can be more lenient in the case of Mavui, as long as part of the Korah dips below 20 Amah. In the case of Sukkah, it's an all or nothing, we have to be machmir, and unless the entire Schach is below Esrim Amah, that ceiling line, then the Sukkah is possible. And this is a major breakthrough.
I'm not sure if these pictures relate to it. It says Gimel Aleph.
Gimel Aleph, let's see. Where does it say Gimel Aleph? Just show me so I get the picture of it.
Down here.
Oh, this says Gimel Aleph?
Doesn't it?
Oh, we're not up to that yet.
Okay.
Let's see. No, we didn't get up to that yet.
It shows it above it, but not below it, so I'm not sure.
We didn't get to that.
So that's the only pictures I saw.
Yeah, so we'll put this on the side if we need it later. So this is a major breakthrough here of Rabbah, that there's a difference between Mavui and Schach. You know, we have always operated with the premise that Mavui and Schach are the same. And we've equated the two, and now we're saying, you know, that there's a difference between the two. So the Gemara is going to immediately raise that question. Maishna always means, what's the difference? B'Mavui de Kosher. You're going to tell me that in the case of Mavui it's kosher. It must be for the following reason, which the Gemara is going to now apply to Schach as well. The Amrinan Klosh. So you want to underline the word Klosh. And Klosh means that, you know what, we could imagine as if the top part of the Korah, which is above 20 Amah, flew away, so to speak. Klosh means to thin it out. Thin out the Korah. If I could use that word. Again, a Korah is not made of feathers. It's not, you know, it's hard to thin out a Korah. Schach, I think, is a little bit easier to think of thinning it out. A Korah is a beam. But just use the word Klosh in a more conceptual way. And we can sort of ignore, you know, imagine if you took a knife or an axe and you cut the Korah into half. and the half that was above Esra Mama, you would just throw out and take it away. And even though right now you didn't take it away, but it's as if you took it away. That's called klosh. Klosh means that sometimes the halacha works with a theoretical possibility, and that's enough. You know, you traverse the distance between theory and reality, and you say that the theory is reality. So since theoretically he could have taken off, he could have shaved off the top half of the korah, then you imagine as if he did so. And all you're left with is the bottom half of the Korah, which is inside Esra Mama. Right? Well, you could imagine, let's say a person had very long hair. You know, today, even men have very long hair. It became stylish, right? So you can imagine, if the hair is too long, you cut it, right? You cut it down. You shave off half the hair on top. So even though you didn't actually do that, we imagine as if you did. So this is the imaginary halacha called klosh, thin it out. So the Gemara asks, well, if you're willing to do that with regard to the Korah, and therefore discount or ignore the top half of the Korah that's above Esra Mama, is Sukkah Nami Nema? Why can't we say the same principle in Sukkah klosh? Let's just thin out the schach, and let's just imagine that the schach above 20 Amo was Nital. Nital means it was taken away. Imagine it was lifted away, and let the Sukkah be kosher based on the schach that's below Esrim Amo. So the Gemara is going to give a very strange answer. Now let me try to introduce the Gemara's answer so that we are all on the same page. How much schach do you have on the top of your Sukkah? What do I mean to ask? You can imagine layers and layers of schach, or you can imagine one layer of schach and anywhere in between. The Gemara thinks that in this case where the schach rises above Esrim Amma, there's not enough schach to shave off or thin out the schach. Because what you're going to be left with is such a very thin layer of schach that it won't be kosher for a sukkah. Meaning, and again, we can ask the same thing with regard to Korah. Why don't we assume that if we ignore and we take away the top half of the Korah, which is above Esra Mama, maybe we're left with too thin of a Korah that's below Esra Mama. Now, why is it that in Sukkah, once we thin out the schach and we ignore the top half of the schach, the sukkah is posel? So that's based on a principle called tzel sa merub sa michamsa. Tzel, which means the shade that's offered inside the sukkah by the schach on top of the sukkah. Meruba, it has to be greater than chamsa, than the sun. So if you could imagine, let's say at 12 noon, when the sun is at its zenith, you walk into the sukkah, and you look at the ground of the sukkah, and most of the ground is shade. Why? Because of the schach. But for that you need thick schach. If you thin out the schach too much, then what's going to happen is the rays of the sun are going to penetrate through that thin schach, and you'll end up with a situation which is just the opposite, which is called, if you read the line of the Gemara now, ikolshat, if you're going to do this activity, so to speak, this theoretical activity called klosh, then havile, what you're going to end up with is chamsa, the sun, is meruba, is greater than tzilsa, than the shade. And that's called the sukkah psula, one of the most fundamental disqualifications of a sukkah is called chamsa meruba mitzelsa. You have to have enough schach so that it knocks out the sun, or at least most of the sun, and now the shade is row. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, are you telling me that by ignoring the top part of the schach that's above Esra Mama, you're going to end up with too little schach that's below Esra Mama? Well, Hachanami, why don't you apply the same logic and the same rules to the case of a Korah and a Mavli? Why? The Kalshis, Hamile Korah Haniteles Beruach. Okay, now let's talk about Korah Haniteles Beruach. This Gemara, which I'll translate in just a minute, is based on a Gemara that we haven't gotten to, although I think in the past we've mentioned it. And that is that the korah has to be strong enough, has to be durable enough, that it could withstand the weight of a brick, which is a chatzi levena. That's literally, it's half a brick. But in any event, they have small bricks and they have larger bricks. And if you thin out a korah, and it becomes really, really thin, because again, there's no real size, minimum size of thickness of a korah. All you need is enough of a korah that if you would place something heavy on top of it, which is called the levena, chatzi levena, it wouldn't crack in the middle. We want that level of durability, if you will. And the Gemara is now saying that if you apply the principle of klosh, and you're telling me, well, in sukkah, you know, there's not that much schach that you could afford the luxury of imagining the disappearance of the top half of the schach, because then you'll end up with chamsa merubah mitzelsa. Then, in a parallel case, in korah, the korah is not, you know, it's not 5 feet thick. You know, it's a thin korah. And if you shave off the top of the korah, or even in imaginary sense, what you're going to be left with is a korah that could be blown away by the wind. It's so thin, I don't even have to put a brick on it. The Gemara uses a very dramatic language. The Gemara says, Havilei, it will become a korah haniteles beruach, which can be flown away, you know, blown away by the wind. And that means it's not enough of a durable a korah to be a valid korah and qualified to be metake in the mavui. So it means, Rabosai, that what we have to find here, and explain Rabba, who says, b'mavui kosher b'sukkah posel, we have to find a parallel case where, nevertheless, even though they're identical in all their features, nevertheless, in mavui we can be mekil, and in sukkah we're going to be machmir. So the Gemara says, al-karchach, you're going to have to assume, if Rabba is willing to apply the principle of klosh to this korah, you're going to have to assume that it's a very heavy korah, you know, with a lot of thickness, which is called in the Gemara's language, nasu kishpudin shalmateches. As we view the bottom half of this korah like strips of metal, right? Metal poles, actually the word shpud is a spit, S-P-I-T, not spitting on the ground, but a spit that you use, you know, to pierce through your barbecue, right, what's chicken breast, what's it called in Hebrew, what do they call it? What do they call it? No, I'm talking about something else. Anyway. Pargiot, right. You take your pargiot, right, and you put a spit in it. That's what a shaput is. But here what the Gemara is trying to illustrate is that you're talking about a thick korah, and even if I would imagine that the top of the korah is keman delesedom, it's if it's not there, nevertheless, it still would not be blown away by the wind. It's like a heavy piece of metal, so to speak. And therefore the mavui is kosher. So there's no other way of explaining Rabba unless you assume that that if you discount the top part of the korah, which is above Esrei Rami, you're still left with a bottom half of the korah, which is strong and durable, and it's called like Shipudim Shalmateches. Then we're going to have to assume that in the case of Schach, you have layers and layers of schach, you know, one green branch on top of another, in such a way, achinami, al-kach, we have no choice, but nases, tzil, sabaruba, micham, so that even after we disqualify, even if we discount or ignore the top part of the schach, which is above Esrei Rami, you're still left with enough schach to guarantee that there'll be more chama and more tzeil, more of shade in the sukkah than chama. So again, we have to come up with some justification for Rabba's distinction between a mavui, meaning a korah, and a sukkah. Amar Rava mi Parzike. So Rava came from a city called Parzikya, and he said the following: Sukkah di yachidhi. Sukkah is for the individual, whereas mavui is for the whole community, right? The entire, you remember that there are many batim that spill into one common chatzer from this side and then from that side. So in the case of sukkah, lo midkar. There's no one with him, or I shouldn't say no one, I mean hopefully he's there with his family, but there aren't many, many people that he's sharing the sukkah with, and therefore, lo midkar. Midkar, you know that in Aramaic, a dalid replaces a zayin, correct? So the word is zachar. Zachar means to remember, as we had yesterday. Remember, don't forget. So he says that you might forget, lo midkar, you might not remember. You won't pay attention to the fact that there is schach. Why? Because if you could imagine that we remove the schach that's above Esr Mam, and you're left with only miktsa schach, only a small amount of schach, which is where? Which is below Esr Mam. So we're afraid that in such a case, let's say this lower strata of schach would get lost, again, because we're all in that theoretical, you know, if the top schach would be removed, so it could be that a person might sit in the sukkah and not realize, no one's there to remind him that, guess what, you know, your sukkah is not kosher, you know, part of it just blew away in the wind. But mavui is the l'rabim. The mavui is dedicated for the use of the public, correct? All the public are using that mavui. Is madkere adodi. They will remind each other. In other words, one will remind the other. So if they'll see that part of the korah was removed, and there's only a small part of the korah, and they'll begin to wonder, will that small part of the korah, will it remain, and it will defy all the natural elements, and the wind will not be able to blow it off? They'll remind one or the other. Ravina has a different explanation to differentiate between sukkah and mavui. Sukkah, da oraisa. Sukkah is a mitzvah shel Torah. The Torah says, basukkas teshu shivas yomim. Is achmiru barabonon. The barabonon have to be very machmir, and they want to disqualify a sukkah when part of the schach is above esrim mama. But mavui is the rabbonon. The entire institution of mavui is only rabbinic, and it's not d'oraisa, because the Torah on a d'oraisa level holds that the mavui has a status of rishus hayachid, because it has three mechitzos. Is therefore lo achmirei be'rabbanon. The rabbanon were not so machmir, and they would allow you to use a korah to be metakin a mavui, even though half of the korah, part of the korah, is above esrim ama. So again, let's just summarize. We have Rava and we have Ravina. Rava wants to say that the difference between Mavui and Sukkah is because of whether it's dedicated for the use of the individual or for the use of the majority, of the Rabbim, of the populace at large. And that's the difference in whether they'll remind one to the other. Now, in this note, I just want to point out that Tosus at the beginning of Masechta Sukkah says that according to Rabbah, Minat Torah, according to Torah law, even if only part of the Sukkah is under 20 Amma, the Sukkah is a Sukkah Kshera. Right now, we're assuming that Sukkah and Mavui have the same status, that in both cases we're dealing with the Drabbanan. That's before Ravina. Again, Ravina is going to introduce the Doraisa element, but up until Ravina, if we're only in Rava, then we can assume that, and again all this is coming to explain Rabbah, that Rabbah holds that on a Doraisa level this Sukkah is a Sukkah Kshera. Why? Because it has part of the schach below Esrim Amma. So that part of the schach which is below Esrim Amma is enough on a Doraisa level to be machshir the sukkah. But why did the Rabbanan passel the sukkah if the Torah recognized the validity of the sukkah? And the answer is because ein ha'ayin sholetes begova rav kazeh, since you cannot see the schach that's above Esrim Amma, is miktas haschach, part of the schach is betoch esrim, and ayin sholetes bo. So you can see the part of the schach that's below esrim amma, and that's enough to establish Leman Yedu, meaning Leman Yedu means that you have to be aware of the schach, and you see the schach that's below Esr Mamah, that's enough. V'ein chisaron b'meshach chelik min haschach l'malam esrim. But Rabba says that the Rabbanon passed such a sukkah. Why? Michashash, they were afraid. Sheva yinot el haschach hatachton v'shoya rak l'malam esrim. So I don't understand exactly the, maybe you'll help me orchestrate this, I don't understand exactly how this happens, but maybe because of the weight of the schach on top, the schach on the bottom starts falling out. And he says that we're afraid that what's going to happen is, again I'm quoting Tosfos at the beginning of Sukkah, Shemi yinot el haschach hatachton. Right, so the schach ha'elyon, which is above Esr Mamah, now pushes down the schach ha'tachton, and it somehow it falls down. V'yishoy rak l'malam Esr, so he's only left with schach on above Esr. So the sukkah is psula, and he doesn't realize that because he doesn't know which schach fell. You follow? Again, you know, if he's there, sitting there when the schach falls, he should know. But let's say he comes in, he comes out, maybe his wife cleaned up the sukkah and she got rid of the schach, or maybe the wind blew that schach out. So therefore the Chachamim were always worried that maybe he won't be aware of the fact that he can't see the schach because it's now above Esr Mamah. So on that, Rabbi says there's unfortunately no Rabbi, there's not enough people around to remind him, hey, you know, half your schach fell and what you're left with is schach posel above Esr Mamah. Masha'enkin, but in contrast, in the case of a Mavui, there's always someone who's there who's able to remind him. All right, now we move on to a different formulation of Rabba. So far we had one transmission of Rabba. Now the Gemara is going to offer a second transmission of Rabba.
Just a question.
Yeah, please.
What basis did some hold that sukkah is not the reason?
Because all you need is schach that's below Esr Mamah, and it's ayin shaletis pa. You know, it's, since there's schach that's below Esr Mamah, and he could see that schach, right, he fulfills the requirement of l'man yedu d'orasechim. So therefore it's only the rabbinic that since there's additional schach on top of your schach, the Rabbanan said, since that additional schach is above Esr Mamah, it's possible. And the question is why? So Tos says at the beginning of Masechet Sukkah, because maybe, again I don't know how to orchestrate this, but he says maybe the schach that's below Esr Mamah is going to fall away. He looks up and he doesn't know what's going on over here, and he's going to rely on the sukkah. So again, if we were learning Masechet Sukkah, we'd have to go through that Tos with a fine tooth comb, but I just wanted to point out to you that our sugya that starts with Rava and ends with Ravina is a very transitional sugya, meaning from Rava's perspective, the whole business here is the Rabbanon. And it's very exciting because if the whole business is the Rabbanon, we begin to understand why Rabba was comparing apples and apples. Whereas Ravina says no, that this whole business of sukkah is Doraisa, and therefore we're comparing apples and oranges. But if you assume, like Rava, the way Tosfos interprets Rava at the beginning of Sukkah, that this whole psul, in the case of Sukkah, is all a rabbinic psul, and on the Torah level it's enough that he has schach below Esr Mamah, then Rava comes along and he says, why were the Rabbanim more concerned in the case of Sukkah, which is only a psul d'Rabbanon, than they were in the case of Mavui, which is d'Rabbanon? And the answer is, because here you have Yochid and here you have Rabban. Ravina, that's already a whole new transition. That's a whole new set of rules, because he's assuming that this schach is posel midoraisa. And the reason for that is because the schach is like one entity, part of which is above Esr Mamah. And the Rabbanan therefore will be very machmir in the case of a doraisa. Now it could be, I'm just throwing out one possibility here, which again requires a lot of research, that even Ravina holds that the psul here is the Rabbanon. But the Rabbanon are going to be machmir in a psul de Rabbanon because whatever they're afraid of, if that comes to pass, and their worst, you know, nightmares come to be, what we call in English the worst case scenario, then he'll have violated a mitzvah d'oraisa. That's not true in the case of Korah, because even in the worst case scenario, if he makes a boo-boo, and he carries here without a heter mavui, without a heter Korah, then he hasn't violated a d'oraisa at all, because it's a rishus hayochid d'oraisa. So the Rabbanan are going to be more machmir in the case of Sukkah, because what's at stake here, the stakes are high, you might be mevatel a mitzvah d'oraisa, whereas in the case of Korah, in the worst case scenario, you would only be violating an isa d'Rabbanan. But now we're going to turn Rabba's statement upside down. Rav Adar Bar Masna, he had a different transmission of Rabba. Masni lahosh maitito de Rabba ipcha. Omar Rabba b'mavui pasul b'sukkah k'shera. That Rabba, and this is very astonishing, he was more machmir in the case where part of the Kor is above Esrimama in mavui than in the case of Sukkah where part of the Schach is above Esrimama. In the case of Sukkah, he was willing to validate the Sukkah. You know, you get the impression that in the case of a mavui, you know, maybe Rabba said, you know what, we can press the people, you know, we can make demands. But in the case of Sukkah, maybe we should go easy on them. We shouldn't make demands, because, you know, if you make too harsh demands, then at the end they won't live up to those demands. But let's see how the Gemara develops Rav Adar Bar Masna's transmission of Rabba. Maishna Sukkah Dikshera. Now what we're seeing now is like a reverse image of what we saw before. It's like, ever see those diagrams of the eye? You know how the eye sees something? It turns everything upside down. So that's what the Gemara is going to do now. It's an upside down mirror image of what we had until now. Maishna Sukkah Dikshera. Before we had Maishna Korah Kshera, now having Maishna Sukkah Kshera, the Amrin and Klosh, that you're willing to say, let's disregard the top level of the Schach, which is above 20 Amma, and imagine that it got blown away. It's not there anymore. Is Mavui Nami Klosh? Lemanemo, why can't we say Klosh? Why not apply the same principle of Klosh to a Mavui? Ella, what, you're going to tell me E Kolshas? If you're going to imagine that the top layer of the Korah is completely gone, is Havile Korah and he tells Beruach, then what you're left with is a very weak, thin Korah. So the part that's below Esr Mama could be blown away by the wind. It's not durable, it's not strong enough to withstand the wind. Is Hachinami, then the parallel case in Sukkah, Ikalshis, if you weaken the Sukkah, the Schach, by imagining the top part of the Schach as if it was blown away, is an Avilei Chamsa Meruba Mitzelsa. Because you can have more sunlight than shade. And this is the exact parallel to Korah Nitelis Beruah. El Al Karchok, you're going to have to tell me, Nasis Tzilsa Meruba Michamsa, that even if he disregards the top layer of the schach, because above Esrim Am it's possible. Nevertheless, he's still left with schach that's kosher, that can generate enough shade that's greater than that of the sunlight. Is Hachinami, then we should say the same thing in a parallel case in Korah, Al Karchah. We have no choice but to assume that the Korah, even if I disregard the top part of the Korah above Esr Mama, Nasa Kishri Pudim Shalmatechas. The bottom part of the Korah is a very solid part of the Korah, and it can withstand the wind, and it's durable, and therefore it should be cautious. So why did Rabba, according to this particular transmission, say that in the case of Korah it's possible? Omar Rava mi Parzikya Sukkah di Yachidi. Now here, this is very fascinating. Until now, we saw Sukkah di Yachidi as a chisara. That's a drawback, because if it's only Sukkah di Yachid, no one's going to remind you. Now Rava is going to turn it upside down. He's going to say the fact that a sukkah is the yachid, that's all the reason to be machshir the sukkah. In other words, since the sukkah is designated for the use of the individual, not for the use of the public, we don't have to worry that if some of the schach would be removed, then he wouldn't. Remember that we discussed, again, we have to imagine this mitzius, this reality, which it's hard for me to orchestrate. I don't know how it happens, but what happens is the bottom layer of the schach falls, maybe because of the weight of the top layer, I don't know, and then he's left with only the top layer, which is above Esrei Mama. He says, you know what? He'll be constantly aware of it. Why? Because Rami Anafshe Umidkar. Rami Anafshe Umidkar. It's incumbent upon him, Anafshe on him as an individual, and he'll remind himself. Notice he's constantly checking out his sukkah. He's like anxious about his sukkah. You know, he's in this state of tension to make sure. It's like me with my tefillin shorash, and it always moves the wrong way, so I'm always looking in the mirror there, so don't think I'm looking at my good-looking face there. I just want to make sure that my tefillin shorash is in the right place. So I get very nervous about that. So a person who's sitting alone in the sukkah, and again, when I say alone, I don't mean alone without his family. You know, we're not talking about someone who flew in from Italy or anything like that. But nevertheless, there's a limited amount of people there in the sukkah, so he doesn't rely on anybody. He's constantly checking out the schach, and he's making sure, guaranteeing that he has schach kosher that's below Esrim Amah.
But that's not the...
Can you give me one more second, Don? Because here's the punchline. Mavui dila rabam hi, but because a mavui is dedicated for the entire public, this is what I call something that falls between the cracks. Are you familiar with that phrase? That came from this Gemara, that phrase. He says, Samchi adadi v'lo midkere. Each guy relies on the other fellow. And he says, you know what? He's going to tell me, he's the mashgiach. You know, he's paid as, I'm not the mashgiach, he's the mashgiach. And each one passes the buck. The Amri Inchi, and people say, this is a very famous idiomatic phrase back in the time of Chazal, time of the Gemara, Kedera de Beishutvi, if you have a pot, and there are two people watching the pot, and it's on the fire,
wow.
Lo chamima v'lo krira. You know, you're not going to be successful. This one's going to rely on the other one. You know, he'll lower the flame if it gets too hot, and the other one is going to rely on his friend. So it'll end up, you know, the law of the excluded middle, and you'll end up with a spoiled pot. Yeah, go ahead, Don. Sorry, I just wanted to get that in.
Okay, I can sort of see the reasoning on the last one about each guy saying I'm relying on the other, but in the first case of the sukkah. You know, the average guy isn't like that. He's not constant, at least I don't think so. He's not constant looking and checking. I mean, you're talking about someone who's really, really...
So I could just, you know, obviously, Don, we would have to...
I know this is all theoretical. I understand.
Right, we'd have to conceptualize this, but just on a psychological level, let's accept the Gemara's principle. Okay. I can't fight with the Gemara. The Gemara is saying that Rami Anafshe, interesting.
Yes.
That... You know, the if you have a chumash, I if I'm not mistaken, check me out on this. I hope I'm not mistaken. The Aseres HaDibros are written in the singular. Am I right? What does it say? Hashem Elokecha, Asher Otzei Sicha Meretz Mitzrayim. Right, and then it says Lo Yelcha Elohim Achirim, and then it says Lo Tisa. All the Aseres HaDibros are written in the singular.
I think there's one that's plural.
All right, let's not get too picky about it. I'm telling you, Don. I'm using it as a mashal.
I'm sorry.
So the Mefarshim say, why was the Aseres HaDibros? And it's very unusual. Usually, you know, v'ahavtem, not v'ahavta. And here it's in singular. So the Mefarshim say that if the Aseres HaDibros would have been written in the plural, each one would point to his friend and say, you take care of it. You know what I'm saying? It's not for me. So the Torah went out of its way to say it's a yachid. When it's a yachid, the responsibility is totally exclusively on your head. You can't blame anybody. So you have to be very, very careful about it. So imagine if you were in a hotel, right? You worry about the kashrus of the hotel. So if you have a mashgiach, so you blame it on him. You know, I'm going to eat away, and it's his headache. Am I right? I mean, that's what we do. But if, on the other hand, let's say you're in your own home, and your wife brings home a supper for you, you know, there's no one to blame you. There's no mashgiach. You're the mashgiach in your own home. You better be careful about that. You can't point to him. And you know, it's his fault. I remember I was once in a Salvation class, and somebody yelled out an answer. What happened was, in the Rav Shir, the Rav Salvation was here, and he had two, besides everyone who was sitting in front of him, there were people who were lined up on both sides. So the guy to his left yelled out something, and the Rav said, "Who said such a thing?" Meaning it was stupid. So he, the guy who yelled it out, turns to the guy behind him and says, "He said it." Now the guy behind him was the most anal guy. He was like the finest guy in the class. And the Rav's looking at him, "Why did you say such a stupid thing?" Said, "God, I'm sorry, Jim. It's a true story. I was there when it happened. He said it." Yeah. It's great to blame the next one. So that's what's going to happen in the case of a mavui. You know, who's in charge of this mavui? I mean, we're all using the mavui. You know, there must be someone who took care and made sure that the Korah is below Esther Vama. Meanwhile, the bottom half of the Korah fell off. You're left with the top half of the Korah, which is above Esther Vama, and you have no head to mavui. But in the case of Sukkah, there's no one to blame over here. You know, the responsibility is on your shoulders. That's the psychology. Now, Don is asking me for a more conceptual, what we call a lumdish understanding of this Gemara. So I don't know. Let me just give it a shot. I don't have anything in my mind, but I would say the following. It means that when there's an obligation that's incumbent upon an individual, like the case of Sukkah, then your responsibility is not just to fulfill the mitzvah, but to guarantee that you will fulfill the mitzvah, meaning that all the qualifications that are necessary have been met, you know, all the conditions that are necessary. In the case of a chovas rabim, you know, where you can't say that I'm obligated or you're obligated, it falls on the community, so to speak, that I'm going to be less careful. It's not, so I'm going to enjoy the benefit of the Rabbim without having the responsibility of the Rabbim. So when it's a Chovas Yachid, like for example, if I have Dalad Minim on Sukkos, well, Matzah on Pesach, right? I can't blame anyone else. I have to guarantee that this was done properly. But when it's a Chovas Tzibur, then no one has that, you know, individual responsibility. What example could I give you of a Chovas Tzibur? Let's say we have Chazoras Hashatz, right? So the Shliach Tzibur has to repeat Shmon Esrei. Well, who's responsible for that? I mean, it's not my personal responsibility. It's incumbent upon the Tzibur. Or in Karbanos, we have a Karban Tzibur, which is incumbent on the whole Tzibur. It's like, for example, let's say there's a question about the Kashrus of a Sefer Torah that we're reading from on Shabbos. You can't point your finger at me and say, Berzon, you have to do it. You know, the whole tzibur has to make sure that they yotzei the mitzvah that's incumbent upon the tzibur. In Megillah, for example, there's a chovas yachid. So I have to make sure that if I'm reading from a Megillah, it's got to be a kosher Megillah. So it's very interesting that what Rav is doing here is he's changing all our perspectives. We thought if it's Rabim, that's what we thought in the first round of Rava, that somebody's going to mention it. You know, somebody's going to look up and say, "Hey, wait a minute, what happened? Half the Korah fell out." You know, saying, "We got to take care of this." So the more people that need the Korah, the more you'll guarantee that it'll be fixed up. And now he's saying the exact opposite for that. Psychologically, the more people are involved, the less the individual feels the brunt of the responsibility. And it ends up falls like this kedera. You know, who's going to make sure that this pot will not ruin, you know, the heat might not be too intense, or maybe sometimes you can ruin the contents of the pot if the heat is too low also. You know what I mean? And now we're up to Ravina. Now, Ravina has a real challenge here. Why? Because Ravina, if you recall, in the first tradition of Rabbah, was saying that we have to be more machmir in Sukkah because Sukkah is Doraisa. And here you may have a possibility that guess what? The schach that's machshir the Sukkah is gone, the lower level of schach. So we have to be more careful about that. And we have to be afraid that he'll mistakenly think that he has schach when he really doesn't have schach. But in the case of Korah, which is only drabbanon, we can be more makel. How's he going to turn that upside down and say that since Sukkah is doraisa, therefore we can be more makel, we can be more lenient in the case where the schach is partially above Esther Mama. And in Mavui, which is drabbanon, we have to be more mach. So here's Ravina's his gig. You know, this is really amazing. He says, Ravina Omar, Sukkah d'oraisa lo boy chizuk, Mavui d'rabanan boy chizuk. Now this is a very interesting principle. That sometimes, when you're dealing with the d'rabanan, we get more strict than when you're dealing with the d'oraisa. There's a natural tendency on the part of the Jewish people, each and every one of us, to be more careful when it comes to the d'oraisa. When it comes to the d'rabanan, we're a little bit more laid back about it. Isn't that so? Like, for example, in Shabbos, you know, if you're talking about a suffix, maybe I'm going to violate one of the malachas, I'll be chayv chatos. Chatos is an expensive enterprise. So I'll be more careful, I'll be more machmir, but if it's only muktzah, let's say muktzah is only d'rabanan, you know what I mean? Like, we'll move it around here and there, we'll find some heter. So the rabbanan asu chizuk l'divrayim yosef mishal Torah. Sometimes the rabbanan, and this is a famous principle, appears many, many places in Shas, there will be more machmir in a case of a d'rabanan because of this laid back attitude that people... that people have towards the Drabbanan. And here we have a perfect example of such a thing. Sukkah, everyone's going to be careful about Sukkah. No one wants to give up on the possibility of being Mekayim and Mitzvah Doraisa. They'll all make sure that the Schach is kosher. But in the case of a Mavui, people have a kind of a zilzil, you know, a kind of laid back attitude. They're not nizar, they're not so careful, and therefore the rabbanan have to make it stronger. They have to give an even bigger push on in the case of Mavi, which is the rabbanan, than would in the case of Sukkah Dorais. My Havi Allah, the Gemara wants to know, what's the final decision in this case? So Rabba Barav Ula Omar Zevize Apostle, Rava Omar Zevize Kosher. One second. Why am I... Okay. So now, this is a very paradoxical Gemara. I mean, the Gemara is asking my Havi Allah, you know, give me the bottom line. You know, how do we paskin over here? You know, are we going to be more machmer in Schach? Are we more machmer in Mavui? And guess what? We really clarified. This is a machlokas, how we paskin. Is Rabbi Barbar Ulo Amar Zev is apostle. That's very interesting because until now we had Rabba. Not this Rabbah, this is a different Rabbah, but the original Rabbah, he was Mechalik, he differentiated in one direction or another between Mavui and Schach. Now the Gemara, at the final Maskon, is saying we're not going to differentiate, and we're going to lump them all together. The same law will apply to both Mavui and Sukkah, but in which direction? So Rabbah Bar Ula says, if it's apostle, we're going to be Machmir in both cases. So whether the Schach or the Korah is above, partially above Esrei Mama, both cases are going to be possible. And Rav is going to say Zevazeh Kosher, that in both cases we can be Machshir if part of the Schach, part of the Korah dips below Esrei Mama. Now, what's a little tricky here is after the word kosher, which is the last word on page Gimel and Aleph, you have to put a comma. Why is that comma so important to me? Because sometimes we read a statement of an Amora and we stop prematurely and we cut him off in the middle of a sentence and then we get all confused. So let's not cut off Rava in the middle of a sentence. The comma indicates that he is now on Daf Gimel and Beis going to explain how he came to this conclusion that in both cases it's kosher. And the answer is Chalal Sukkah Tanan v'Chalal Mavui Tanan. So let me see if I can explain this line in the Gemara. When we talk about whether it's Schach or a Korah above Esrei Mama or below Esrei Mama, you know, it's kosher, apostle, kosher, there are two ways that you can understand that. Like, for example, if you say, I went to the store, right? So the store is the object of I went to. So we're asking now, when we talk about above or below Esrei Mama, what is the object that we're talking about? So one possibility would be we're talking about the Schach or the Korah, correct? Wouldn't that be logical? So I'm going to tell you, was the schach above Esrimama or below? Was the mavui above Esrimama or below Esrimama? Correct? So then, my, I don't know what word you want to use, my object, is that a good word? My object is the schach, or the mavui. Rava comes along and introduces a whole new twist. When we talk about above Esrimama or below Esrimama, we're not talking about the mavui. I'm sorry, we're not talking about the korah. We're not talking about the schach. What we're talking about is the airspace inside the sukkah, inside the mavli. That's called halal. Halal means the airspace. Now everything changes. Why? Because what the Mishnah is telling me, both here and in sukkah, is not that the psul is because the schach was above Esra Mama, or because the Korah was above Esra Mama. No, we're no longer talking about the Skach and the Korah. What we're talking about is the airspace. And it works the other way around, meaning the airspace cannot be 20 Amah. The airspace has to be below, up to but below 20 Amah, both in the case of Sukkah and in the case of Mavul. And an afkamina between the two. What difference does it make whether I say the subject, the purpose of my statement of lamala miyesrim below esrim is the korah or the sukkah or the schach, or it's the halal, the space inside? It's a tremendous difference.
If it's the airspace, then the other could be above it. Doesn't matter.
Exactly. Beautiful. Is that what you're going to say, Bob?
Let
me just explain what Jerry's saying. Yeah, okay. Jerry's saying like that. Once you shift your emphasis to the airspace, I couldn't care less what goes above esrim. All the halacha is requiring me is to make sure that there's no airspace of 20 amma. So once I have the lower part of the korah or the lower part of the schach below esrim amma, I no longer have an airspace of esrim amma. So the psul now is not the fact that the korah is above esrim amma, but that there's airspace of esrim amma. And the nafkamina is going to be in a case where the korah begins below esrim amma and it goes above esrim amma. I now have knocked off the airspace, diminished it down to below esrim amma. So now the mavui is kosher. Now the schach is kosher. This is the shita of Rava. Am I mistaken? Let me just get the name straight. Sometimes I get the names mixed up. Rava Omar. So again, you have to put the comma there on the word kosher, because now Rava is going to reinterpret the Mishnah. And when I say the Mishnah, there are two Mishnahs. One Mishnah here in Erevin regarding the Korah. The other Mishnah in the beginning is Sukkah regarding the Schach. And in both cases, the subject of the Mishnah and the Psul is not the Korah or the Schach. The Psul is in the Chalal, meaning the space. The space must be less than Esrim Am. And once you shift your emphasis from the Korah to the space, or from the Sukkah to the space, then we know that in both cases it's kosher. Why? Because you have no space inside of Esrim Amma. As long as your space is less than Esrim Amma, then it's kosher.
Interesting approach. That's not the halacha, is it? We talk about
I'm not sure how we paskin. I didn't look this up. Just 1 second. You want to know how we paskin? I'll try to get back to you, maybe even before we end the shiur. We still have a few minutes, so maybe I'm looking as we speak in the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah, and you'll see if he tells you. Actually, we'd have to go back to Rabba. Let's just go back to the original statement of Rabba that we started with today. Mixas Korah, blah, blah, blah. So that's a gimel. So that would be in Perek Yitzayim Ilchus Shabbos. I'd have to look up the Rambam in Perek Yitzayim Ilchus Shabbos if you have such a Rambam. Maybe we have one up here somewhere. We used to have a 2-volume Rambam here, but I don't know if it's here. And as far as Sukkah is concerned, I don't know. I don't see it until Ilchus Sukkah now, but I'm sure we would find it. But it would take me a few minutes to research it. So I don't know, the Gemara itself doesn't seem to come to any definite conclusion.
I have a question about
this. Yeah, please.
There doesn't seem to be much of a material difference as to whether you're counting the actual Korah or you're counting the space below. how much of a difference could that be? It's not much.
Doesn't matter. As long as it's a minimal, you know, what do they call it, a millimeter? If it's a millimeter of difference. So halacha works with millimeters. It's mind-boggling. Now we're going to have a whole sugya when Masechta Shabbos about a millimeter. You know, it's a whole... But the question is that if the schach starts below Esramam, the lower strata of the schach or of the korah is below Esramam, you've now guaranteed me that there's no airspace of 20 amah. And the whole psul to disqualify the sukkah, the mavi, is because you have an airspace of 20 amah. I mean, you see where Rav is radically changing our whole perspective. He has a note here. He says, "Miloshen haGemara mashma shekavonis Rava ledaikas loshen haMishnah shomra mavui shu gavoa lemalam esrim ama." Now, what did Rava see in our Mishnah? If I'm not going to change the page, if you can do me that favor, because I don't want to lose my place. But if you can open up the Mishnah says mavui shu gavoa lemalam esrim ama. Am I correct? So he claims here. This is the name of one of the Achronim called the Toras Chaim, that the word Lamala is superfluous. Let's rewrite the Mishnah, bracketing the word Lamala. It should have said, again, I'm asking you to do this work for me because I don't want to lose my place. It should have said, Mavui Shehu Gavoa Me Esrim Ama. Why does it add the word Lamala? So he says that the extra word Lamala is Lashmi'ino, is coming to teach us, Shalo Pasalnu Elakora. Shehuncha lemala migova esrim ama, v'hainu mishum shachalal shenishar min hakora ad laoretz, the airspace from underneath the chalal, underneath the korah all the way to the ground, hu yoser mi esrim ama. So honestly, I admit that the word lemala is superfluous and you could have dropped it. I'm just not sure, what did Rava see in that extra word lemala? That since it says lamala, I understand. He's saying that the word lamala is relative to the space that's inside the mavli, or inside the sukkah. The word lamala means that you lifted it too high. Well, why did the Mishnah have to add the word lifted it too high? It could just say that it's above Esrim Amah. But that extra word lamala means that you've allowed for too much space below the korah. That's his take on where Rava came to this, how Rava came to this conclusion. Then he writes that Afsha Hamoroyim Shahuvuliel Modim Shemikra Adina Shiru Bechalal Estrim Kamoshamashva Mishnah El Midrabon Gozru. Wow. He says that all the opinions that we had until now agree with Rava, that the extra word Lamala teaches me that it's all dependent upon how much airspace you have. But they felt that the Rabbanan made a gzera, shaloya miktsas lamala me'esrim. You know, the problem is not according to those before this Rava. The problem is not in the absence of a halal of 20 amah, of less than 20 amah, because if that be the case, they would agree that it's kosher. But the problem is in the korah itself, that the korah has a part that's above esrim amah. And therefore the chashash is, we're afraid that maybe the bottom part of the korah will fall, the bottom part of the schach will fall, and what he's left with is the airspace of 20 amah, and the korah is above 20 amah, the schach is above 20 amah. Oh, shegozru shema yovo lohaniach lechatchila gova michalal esrim amah. That once we allow him to have a korah or a schach that's above, partially above Esrim Amah, he'll come to put it above Esrim Amah without the part that's below that knocks off the airspace. Amalei Rav Papa Rava. I just want to see if we can chop around another few lines of the Gemara so we end up with a total sugya. We can start a new sugya tomorrow. Amalei Rav Papa Rava, Tanya the Messiah. I have a brisa to support you. Mavoi Shu Gavoa Mi Esrim Amah. If the mavui has its opening, which is above 20 amah, yosem mi pischo shel ilan shel heichal. Now the pesach of the heichal was below 20 amah. Is then if you have a mavui which is above esrim amah, then it's already above the Pesach of the Heichal, because the Pesach of the Heichal was below Esrim Amo, you might. So the Brisa says, then what you have to do is, you have to somehow diminish the size of the Pesach in order to be machshir it. Heichal Gufo, Chalolo Esrim. He says that the Heichal itself was so tall that it had a halal of Esrim Amo. V'kevet shekein, yeshil mocha afshir Esrim Amo v'bemovui, hayne b'shir gova halal ha-Pesach. In other words, that just like in the case of the Heichal, the discussion about the Heichal was that you have to have an airspace that's less than 20 Amo from the ground. So from the ground till the top, you have less than 20 Amo. So too, the Braisa says that the Mavui, if it's above Esrim Amo, then you're allowing for an airspace that's beyond that of the Heichal, and therefore it's possible. Esve, the Gemara now has a kash on Rava, Rav Simi, Bar of Ashi, Rav Papa. I'm sorry, Kasha Rav Papa, I meant to say, sir, Rav Shimi asks Akasha to Rav Papa. We have a Braisa that says the following, Mavui Shekarasa Gavah, if you have a Mavui, and the Korah is above 20 Amma, is Ketzad Hoya Osa, what should he do to be Machshir this Korah? Meiniach Korah Misfas Esrim Ulamata. The Braisa says that you need a little bit of the thickness of the Korah that should be below Esrim Amma. Aval imya nicho bisfas esrim amal amal apostle afilu she'en chalal amovri gavoa yosem esrim amal. So I realize now we'll have to go through this tomorrow. This is I'm pressing myself unnecessarily. So Rabosai, we're going to, even though we have only one little piece of Gemara to finish the sugya, but again, you know, I always feel that sometimes that's a good thing because it gives us a chance to review. So tomorrow's a fast day. I hope you can all make it. I'm going to push myself. That's after I give the shiur. Before this, the Daf Yomi shiur. And the Mirtz Hashem will pick it up here on Daf Gimel Amid Beis, about 10 lines down from the top. And we'll start with Esve. Actually, it's less than that. It's about 5 lines down from the top. That's what we'll start with Esve. Okay, then? So I wish everyone a great day.